Sometimes husbands and wives can't move forward because they are chained to the past. A past mistake, a past deed done that just never would just let it go. You can be talking about you don't like the color of the ice cream. And then all of the blue, here come that thing happened 20 years ago. You start out talking about you didn't like the color of the ice cream. You got to practice being kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving. Then verse 1 says, imitate God and walk in love, your first love. The Lord never wants you to lose your first love for him, and he never wants you to lose your first love for your husband or your wife. Like I said, you can fall in love with Jesus more than one time. You can fall in love with him over and over. And you can fall in love with each other over and over again. And this is how God wants you to live. Take these principles out of these scriptures right here and apply them to your life, whether you're married or you're single. They work in any situation. And they work all the time. Amen.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315.
K-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day today as we celebrate this time of thanksgiving. Lord God, we pray that you would minister to your people afresh today. Give them, as only you can by your Spirit, the peace and comfort of knowing that through their trials, their tribulations, and triumphs, you have been there, you are there, you shall be there. And for that, we say thank you. And Lord, right now we set aside every concern, everything that would hinder us from focusing on you and giving you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. So Lord, take us out of self and allow the Holy Ghost to meet us right where we are. And then through his power, lift us to the place you'll have us to be. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, all glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Turn next to your neighbor and say, neighbor, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and he's worthy of thanksgiving. Well, give him thanks. Glory, give him thanks. Hallelujah. Now reach back and grab your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. I was before the Lord, and in meditation time, God just impressed upon my heart this one verse of scripture. And I'm not going to be long before you today, because God has given me a word that's short, simple, powerful. And it's for the believer to shout in your circumstances and your situations right on through. And it's in Psalm 23 and 4. I say, Lord, I done preached this thing and this thing. He say, preach it again. Sometimes they don't hear certain things until they hear it again. And just the fourth verse, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. May the Lord bless those who have read, heard, and shall obey his word. I want you to see here, you know this beloved psalm that starts off, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I mean, this whole psalm, this whole six verses, each one specifically detailing to the shepherd or the sheep at this point, who is the shepherd who wrote it, and that was David, who has the ability in the text to be both the shepherd and the sheep, to know from both perspectives how awesome God is and what God can do, and what he has experienced and what he shall experience is no match for the God that he serves. And when you walk through the text and you see it, and just for those who may not know that the person on the side of you may know, and you know the psalm well, it's important to recognize that this psalm, verses 1-3, is preparing. It is first presenting God as the supreme sovereign, who is the source and supply of everything, both in the natural and in the supernatural. So seeing God, first of all, in the presence of his glory says to me as a believer, if God is truly on my side, it really doesn't matter who's not. If God really is my source, then he has the ability to create channels of flow wherever he wants to. And too often time we see people and we see institutions as our source, and our allegiance and our dedication and our commitment is more to them than to him. And we forget that it is because of him that they are able to do what they do for us. But if we would be careful to make sure our connection is direct with him, there will always be a them to take care of us. Now listen to this, because you do know God doesn't rain down money from heaven. He doesn't rain down this and that and all the rest of that. So he does have a system by which and through which he blesses us in the earth realm that we must obey. So we need to understand that God has many resources. He has many outlets. He has many channels and reservoirs to give to us and give for us the things he's prepared for us. So knowing he is our shepherd, and knowing as the sheep who does nothing for him or herself in the way of provisions, it means the total trust is upon God providing every, somebody say every, thing that I need. Now look at this, because I want to just move straight on to verse 2-3, just talks about in more detail how God provides and prepares them for everything they must deal with. But getting right to the verse that I've been dealing with and focusing on and meditating on, in verse 4, he starts off again by saying, yea, though I walk through the valley. It ain't just no any valley. This one is filled with reminders that death is all around me, and that I could statistically be another number. It is a place known where thieves and robbers and muggers and rapists hang out at. It's a place that is connected with all kinds of evils, and yet I walk through. Don't run through. Ain't scared to go through. Nothing is shaking me. No fear lives here. And when I heard this in my spirit, and I'm like, David, talk to me for a minute. Why is it that you feel like this? And I want to share with you what I see from scripture. The first thing is that even before he goes through the valley, on the other side of the valley, Point number one, he sees the victory from the valley. He sees the victory from the valley. Now, that might not mean nothing to you right now, but stick with me because I'm going to help you. A whole lot of us, when we see the valley, we see shadows of death, reminders of death, fear and evil and all of the other things associated with that valley. But what you got to understand is his vantage point on this side of the valley, looking through the valley, he didn't stop even in his thoughts in the valley. He kept on seeing his victory before he ever set one foot in the valley. What am I saying to you? Some of you are in the place where you're about to go through your valley. And you're afraid, you don't wonder how this is going to happen, how this is going to work out, how is God going to deliver, how is God going to do this. You've never been in this place before. Don't worry about none of that. What you've got to know is, if you ever remember verse 1, that the Lord is your shepherd. Now remember, he's at verse 4 now. He knows 1 through 3 is already cemented in his conscience and his conviction, and he is thoroughly depending upon the Lord. So he's looking beyond what he sees and going straight to what God is able to deliver to him, and that's the victory. You know, you throw Satan a major blow before the fight ever starts when you stand on the side of the valley that you're about to enter into and pronounce, "I'm already the winner." I mean, he trembles at the fact that before you ever go through what you're getting ready to go through, you've been notified from hell that you're about to go through some hell, and you start yelling, "Yay!" Maybe you didn't hear me. I didn't say you about to go to heaven here. I say you about to go through some hell. Yay! Is he crazy? Is she crazy? Do they understand what they about to go through? Yay! When your confidence is in God, who will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. And because you know who you are and you know whose you are, when you say yay, you're telling the devil, "Bring it on." Because your fight really ain't with me. Bring it on. I'm just standing here representing the one who's going to show up in me. Bring it on. Yay! You ain't got to say amen. I know I'm right about it. He sees his victory from the valley. Not from the mountaintop. Not when everything is going well, all your bills paid, you're happy, things are working well in the home, on the job. No! From the valley. From the lowest depression in the earth. At that place where everything else seems to come down on you. You're not at the top now, you're at the bottom. But here again, you got to understand, all a valley is a mountain turned upside down. I wish I had somebody. And you already see yourself on the top of that mountain. God's just positioning you so when he flipped this thing over. See your victory from the valley. I don't care what the doctor say. What does the physician say? By his stripes, it's past tense, you already here. What does God say in his word about you being the conqueror? He says, "I did the conquering. You're more than the conqueror, because what I conquered, I presented to you. You showed up at the fight, but I fought the fight." I wish I had somebody here. Whose report? Will you believe? Sit on down for a minute. Because we really can go home on that. That's enough to go home on. but let me show you something else, because I need you to see this. And you need to know this for yourself. Wherever your present position of opposition is, Whatever your position of traumatic or troublesome or problematic situations may be, wherever your position is, know that where you are does not hinder what you can see. Let me put it another way. You know, it just depends on where some folks sit. They can only see some things. And that means that they're limited to the natural vision. And sometimes in your situations, in your trials, and in your tribulations, you limit your vision to the natural. You can't see your way out, because stuff is all in front of you, blocking you, and you can't see which way to turn. You can't see what's on the other side of the wall, the blockage, because you're looking through the natural. But I got news for you. You got another vision. And it ain't television. See, some of you can't really see clear in the natural, so what you need to do is put on your supervision. That's seeing it through the eyes of God. That's your ability to see clearly because of what God has said, because of what God has promised, and you can see clearly what you could not see naturally because you are viewing it through supernatural means. Where I am does not prevent me from seeing where I'm going. I may be bogged down now, but I see where I'm going. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm heading. I may be at a place right now that says dead end, but I know a one who can make a way out of nowhere. I know it might not be a road on the way to where I'm going, but you do know he can make paths. He can make a trail. He can customize a course. And the reason why I've discovered when I get to the end of my road and there is no more road is because God has customized some stuff just for me. And so when I get to the point where I'm ready to take it to another level, then he starts a construction group. Y'all don't hear me here. I keep trying to tell you the reason why so many folk get caught up in the valley is because they don't understand it's not destruction going on there, it's construction. See, some folk get scared in the valley and some folk shout in the valley. It depends on what you see from the valley. Thank you, Jesus. Now look at this. This is something else you need to understand. That just seeing it is just a part of the experience. Because how many of you know that once God shows it to you, you've got to take it to another level? And the next level is speaking what he's shown you. That's confessing or releasing or having the faith to believe that what he has shown me is what he wants for me. And because I believe what he has said, then I'm going to speak what he has said. I'm not going to modify it. I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to amend it. I'm not going to augment it. I'm going to say it like he said. And listen at this. If he has already said and promised, and David had that in his own conviction, I will never leave you. Now, it takes somebody who's been left to understand and appreciate that promise. I will never forsake you. It's got to have someone who's been forsaken to understand that promise. And he says this with such confidence that David holds on to that throughout his experiences, both positive and negative, both right and wrong, both up and down, because God's promises are sure.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so he begins to speak, yea.
Yea, yea.
You do know yea was a confirmation note.
Yes,
yeah. He said yea because he already heard God talking in his ear. And his yea was another form of amen. I hear you, God. You can make it, David. Yea.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. Yea. Come on. It might look like it's pitiful on this side, but I got a party for you on the other side. Yea. Yeah. I mean, before he ever walked through that valley, he was already shouting, yea. Now, you know that will blow not only the devil's mind, but your enemy's mind, when you got the news that you got to go through the valley and you already get your praise on before you start going in the fight? In boxing, it's called sucking your enemy out. I mean, it's where you go to punching yourself. It's like, well, man, he punching himself like that. What much more can I do to it? You just getting yourself ready because you know good and well you've already got that victory. And because you've got it, it gives you another confidence to begin, thirdly, to walk in it. He was secure. Listen at this well. As the vessel of God who had been given the victory by the sovereign. When you know where your victory comes from, you don't have to question it and its ability to be manifested. See, this is what you need to know, that God's got this thing fixed. Any witnesses in the house? God gave me that revelation some years ago that he's got this thing fixed, and the more I read this word, I keep saying, yay! You got it fixed, God. And when I think it doesn't make sense sometime and I don't understand how it'll work out sometime, I see, yeah, God has got this thing fixed. And this is so important, because when we recognize that God has given us the experience so that he can turn over, so that he can release, so that he can deposit the things that he has prepared for us into our lives. Every test, every situation, every circumstance that you shout yay on your way into is just going to make your coming through it that much better. Listen at this. How many of us frown, cry, become cynical, disillusioned, start questioning God? Why do I have to go through this? God, I pay my tithes. I give my offerings. God, I do this, I do that. And with all of this, God don't want to hear all of that. Look at what the psalmist says. Yay! Though I walk. This is my personal participation in the process that God has for me. Through the valley of the shadow of death. Now I need you to know, this confidence is not on himself, the creature. This confidence is in the creator. God gives you confidence to speak boldly in your situation, in your storm, in your trial, in your tribulation, because you know you got the triumph. Listen at this. I will fear. Now notice he didn't say I wouldn't feel. I feel evil. But I don't fear evil. Not when I know who's already taking care of evil. And he says, I will fear no evil. And the best way to understand that is because most times, listen at this, to fear evil is to allow evil to take residence in you. If you don't let fear come inside, controlling your thoughts, your mind, your emotions, even your physical state, not to mention the diminishing of your spiritual state. If you don't fear evil, evil doesn't have the power to manipulate you, to control you. It's like coming to another level of knowledge and understanding about certain things. Listen at this. There is not a recorded evidence in history where shadows killed anybody. Matter of fact, the only evidence of a shadow doing something, it was in healing a man. Somebody ought to. But a shadow ain't killed. Well, listen at this. Light and a blocking of light by darkness. And when a shadow appears, it's always, listen at this, it's always evident that something else is present. Now look at how awesome God is. He'll let your enemy be right on the side of you. And he can have his knife drawn to stab you in your back. And the best that he will ever do is have an image of killing you, because God's got this thing fixed. He's got your back, he's got your front, he's got your top, he's got your bottom. And all you could do is see the image of a shadow that would have overtaken you had the Lord, who represents the light, not been present to fight the fight you couldn't fight for yourself. How many of you know the devil don't fight fair? The devil ain't trying to come up. The devil just want a quick win. He ain't trying to fight you fairly and squarely. You preparing for a good boxing match, and the referee's saying, all right, now y'all come on, y'all fight good. No hitting below the belt. No. First thing the devil does, he try to take you out by some unnatural blow. And what you've got to know is that God is there for your benefit. And as you know he's there for your benefit, listen to this. Stop complaining. Stop whining and crying about what you're going through. And if you spent more time walking through the valley, you'd spend less time complaining about the valley you're going through. See, if your focus was on the victory rather than feeling like you're victimized because you got to go through the valley, all that does is make God, again, better in the sight of the enemy as a conquering God when he lets somebody that the devil knows he can beat go through the valley, but then he can't touch him because God is with him. Y'all not getting it. I can tell you're not getting it. Let me help you. Let me say it another way. What God does is every time he lets you go through a valley, it is again because he's bragging on you that you're going to make it through. And because he knows you're going to make it through, before he ever sends you through, he already orders the celebration on the other side and starts the preparation for your arrival on the other side. That's the reason why when you're going through the valley, you can't stop. There's a party planned for you. Y'all not hearing me here. That's why when you're going through whatever you're going through, don't stop. Because on the other side, there's a celebration waiting with your name on it. That's why you get in the situation and you see it for what it is, and you hear it for what God has told you, and you see it for what God has shown you, and you keep your focus on what God has for you and not what's around you. Because the devil wants to take your eye off the prize. If he can take your eye off the prize, he can put your eye on the problem. Y'all don't hear me here. Wherever there's a problem, not far from it is a prize. Whatever you're going through, shift your eyes till you find the prize. I wish I had somebody. And when you find the prize, lock your vision on the prize and keep on walking. Folk gonna try and talk to you, but keep your eye on the prize. Things are gonna try to distract you, but keep your eyes on the prize. We walk by faith, not by sight. If we walk by sight, we'd see too much. Too much that would tempt us. Too much that would condemn us. Too much that would take us off of the path. Too much that would cause a major distraction. But because we walk by faith, it's a supernatural vision. I'm connected with what God has shown me. I don't have to see where I'm going because he's leading me. I don't have to worry about the enemy, because his rod is there to take care of him. If I slip, and sometime I will, because the Bible says a righteous man, a just man, a good man will fall 7 times, but he's going to get back up again, because his staff reaches down and pick me up. Oh, I wish I had some valley travelers, because if you're not in one now, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, because your valley is coming. But you don't have to whine. You don't have to cry. You don't have to be discouraged. Before you go in the valley, catch a hold of your victory and have a little talk with God. Say, I want Jesus to win.
walk with me.